You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packard the Great. We are recording from well above the Jumbotron at the Pepsi Center.
At Mile High Stadium. We are well above a mile high above speed level, and yeah. Jay King is freaking out, man.
I'm petrified of heights. This is not good for me. My palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There might be vomit on my sweater by the time this podcast has concluded. Before we go any further into the Celtics' one-point victory, which had kind of a crazy ending, just a hectic ending, frantic ending, we'll give you a little bit about ourselves. We are the Locked On Celtics podcast. If you don't subscribe to us already, do it by searching for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. We're the only Celtics Monday through Friday podcast, the greatest Celtics Monday through Friday podcast, and I'm certainly the only podcaster who will podcast through a debilitating fear of heights.
You can just hear it in the voice how kind of
I'm shook. I'm shook right now. I'm like trying to stay close to the guardrail so I can't tumble over. It's tough up here. Anyway, the final stretch. Whew, Celtics kind of escaped one. Well, let's start with Jaylen Brown's go-ahead three in the final minute. The Nuggets just played some horrible defense. It was
for a large portion of the game they were playing some bad defense.
It's just kind of what they do.
The Celtics went 10 for 16 in the first half from three, and a lot of them were just wide open threes. It didn't really seem like the Nuggets were making a lot of second efforts, doing a lot of rotating. And then the play that kind of sealed the game for the Celtics. So it was coming out of a timeout. The Nuggets had just tied it. It was just a simple pick and roll for Kyrie and Al Horford. Horford got the ball, and Jokic just had a way too aggressive closeout. And normally Horford he had a kind of a clear path to the basket. You would expect him to take that shot many of the times, but he saw Jaylen Brown wide open the corner. Jaylen Brown, who has not been shooting well, especially from three as of late, gets it to go in. It rolled around the rim a little bit, and he was talking after the game about how much he was desperate for that one to go. After that, it was just a scramble of a game, but that was the play where it was a nicely designed play out of timeout and just terrible defense by Jokic.
It was funny because the Celtics didn't have to run anything complicated at all. They knew just go to a high pick and roll, put Horford and Kyrie up there, and put Jokic in that action, and something was going to give. Either he was going to have to switch on a Kyrie, which would not have ended well for the Nuggets, or he was going to have to stay with Kyrie for an extra beat too long, making a tough closeout on Horford, and Horford made the right play. Horford typically makes the right play, found Jaylen Brown wide open in the corner. Jaylen Brown had missed his first four three-pointers. Said he knew he wasn't missing that one. He was kind of funny after the game, just talking about his supreme confidence.
He said it so without supreme confidence. It was just kind of like bizarre. When he said it, I was just kind of like, okay. I didn't really buy it.
I think that's a hot take.
It was a hot take. He said he had supreme confidence without any confidence because that shot barely went in. It's not like he hit the nothing but net on that one.
The shot went in, man. If it goes in, it counts. That's all you need. So then Jamal Murray came back, hit a tough winner.
A very impossible floater.
Nuggets offense is good, man. With Jokic just slanging passes, and he's become a shooter now. And Jamal Murray's tough to stop off the bounce. They can kind of spread you. They have big guys who can pass. They have guards who can shoot. They're tough to stop. And
That was the kind of wild thing about this game, is that in the first quarter, and especially, I guess, the first half, the Celtics were playing damn good defense on the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets were...
They shot 32.7% in the first half,
yeah,
they which were, is not good.
Not good. They were 7 for 25 at the rim. The Celtics were doing a really good job of just stopping their drives. Gary Harris didn't have as good a game as we saw back in Boston. And I thought the Celtics, mostly because they were knocking down a lot of their shots and they were able to set their defense, really got going on the defensive end. Then in the third quarter, they did give up a 20-point lead, which seems rather customary with the Boston Celtics at this point. But Kyrie was clutch in the fourth. We did see the end of the idea of the rookie wall tonight. Jason Tatum shattered it. He jumped through it that, like the Kool-Aid man.
The four-game rookie wall, man.
It happens to the best of us.
I still don't believe in the rookie wall. I've never seen a study that has actually broken down the rookie wall and said it existed. If I see a study, I'll believe in the rookie wall. Till then, I'll just
Jay
believe
King,
that.
You're here reading like publications in science magazine studies about the rookie wall. What studies are you reading?
There are no studies about it. That's why it doesn't exist to me. But
Tatum had a bounce-back game, and he was a lot more aggressive tonight.
Did have a bounce-back game. He worked over Kenneth Faried on a couple switches, just kind of pulled up right over him.
Yo, I Faried forgot getting, Faried existed until I saw him in the game today.
The manimal against the Danimal. Daniel Tice.
Oh.
That is a bad, bad nickname. Please don't make that one stick. Please don't tell anyone I said that, listeners. Tatum was good in a really, really loud way in the first half. Every bucket seemed to be like one of those wow moments where he was just shaking and baking and going a little wild. And then Marcus Morris was
huge
very
game.
Efficient in the first half, hit a couple of threes, got fouled on a three-pointer at the end of the first quarter. He's been looking better since he got healthy. Like, the more minutes he gets, the more rhythm he's gotten, the better he's played. He still does some things sometimes where you're like, oh, yep, that's going up.
That's a Marcus Morris. He's shooting there.
That one's going up.
But it feels like he's doing it less often now, or maybe he's just in rhythm, so like when he does do it, it goes in more. Where it feels like there's less just the horrendous ISO Mook plays. The other man had a huge contribution, and this is three-point shooting coming out of nowhere. Daniel Tice, the Danimal, as some might call him. Where does his three-point shooting come from? Also, I think he had four assists tonight. This is something D'Amico mentioned after the game. His passing numbers have been up. He's just been a great playmaker. He's an incredible role player for the Celtics. It's wild that he's just like their, fourth big right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's just solid. There's not much else. I think Jaylen Brown put it really nicely. He said he just has great energy. On the court, off the court, he said Tice just brings you great energy. And that's kind of what he does. It's not like he's out there, like, doing anything crazy. He dunks a few times. He has nice timing on shot blocks. He's tough, and he's hit a few open shots lately. He's just... brings good energy, great energy. So Daniel Tice, another big game. They got a lot of contributions from a lot of people. Semi Ojeleye, a couple three-pointers. Terry Rozier wasn't always great, but he had some big rebounds. He hit a couple shots when they were really struggling.
He had the most rebounds on the team tonight with a broken ankle. I liked talking to him pregame, saying he would, like, if it was broken, he would still play. He's never missed a game in his entire life.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. The claim that he's never missed a game due to injury in his entire life and that he would play on anything but a broken ankle was...
That, I believe him.
Tito points for that.
Definite Tito points. And then going out with a broken ankle, not a broken, a sprained ankle, and leading the team in rebounds and still jumping higher than anyone else on the court.
Yeah, just a lot of Tito points for that. The pregame session when he also had probably the quote of the night. When someone asked him if he slipped on the play against Golden State where he sprained his ankle, and he said, nah, just a terrible move. what a golden quote. Shout out to Tito for that quote. Kyrie, we haven't even talked about
Kyrie. We haven't even talked about Kyrie.
That's crazy. Why have we not talked about Kyrie?
Because he does it so casually that it's not even newsworthy at this point. But some of his finishes around the rim tonight were absolutely absurd. And I feel like we do this at, like, you don't normally join for the post-game podcast, but I feel like there's an obligatory 2 minutes of just going, yeah, Kyrie's fucking ridiculous, man. Like, he does things that just, it doesn't make sense.
There was one play where he wasn't even, like, dribbling. He was just kind of batting the ball to himself.
He just slaps it when he comes up the court. Just, like, just kind of lethargically, and it's like, okay, I'll run offense now. But his ability to, like, get through angles, I mean, I feel like we saw Isaiah Thomas do get through some crazy splits between guys. Just because he was so small, but Kyrie does it with like a smoothness that I just don't really understand. And he has these crazy angles and can shoot off either foot with either hand and switch at any times.
I feel like Kyrie plays basketball like one of those movie scenes where there's like the laser security and you got to get through the lasers, you know, like you got to like contort your body one way and then contort your body the next.
Mission Impossible style.
Yeah, and he kind of plays basketball that way, and he's like slapping the basketball like over one laser, past another, through another, and it's like, I don't know how he does it, but he does it, and he just puts on a laser show.
And he was looking, he got banged up, hurt his leg tonight.
Should have thrown the flag for targeting,
that's,
man.
That's what he says. But the whole team kind of looked exhausted at the end of the game. You would expect that. I'm exhausted just from being on a road trip for like a week at this point. It's only been four
games. Welcome to the road life, man.
Yeah, road life.
You do look kind of ragged.
I'm rough, man. I had some times in San Francisco in the Bay Area. It was just surviving. But the team basically they were lucky to get out of here with a win because Kyrie played basically the entire fourth quarter. The Celtics needed him. He scored 10 points in the fourth, but the team, I'm sure, is happy to be done with this road trip and escape with a 2-2 after kind of that shitty loss to the Lakers to open it up.
Yeah, it turned out being it was a wild road trip. It turned out to be a semi-productive
Marcus
Smart one.
Punched.
Like, think about what happened. First, opening night of the road trip, they fall to the Lakers. Kyle Kuzma goes bonkers. Marcus Smart misses a shot at the buzzer.
After having an amazing offensive performance.
Yeah, probably one of his best offensive performances this season. Then he goes out and punches a picture frame, gets in a brawl with a picture frame at the hotel room, needs to go to the hospital. Al Horford gets checked for a concussion. He sits out a game. The Celtics, like, just absolutely control the Clippers without Horford, which was impressive. Then they go to Golden State, play one of the most entertaining games of the year, and then show up in Denver and barely
blow a 20-point lead,
barely survive at the buzzer, and finally get to go home. It was just kind of a nutty road trip. It had a little bit of everything, and the Celtics go back 2-2. Did you have an issue with Will Barton's last shot? Let's talk about Denver's decision not to call timeout, because I think I was seeing a lot of debate about that on Twitter. Obviously, it was a big deal. It had a huge impact on the final seconds. So Kyrie Irving misses his shot, a fadeaway with nine-footer with about – Denver got the ball with about 5 seconds left and had to outlet the ball then. Will Barton got the ball, and Mike Malone decided not to call a timeout. Now, I have two thoughts about this, and basketball is a complicated game. There are so many layers to every decision, and you can think one way about a decision, you can think another way. I happen to think this is a really tough decision, because if you call timeout, yes, you get it at half court, yes, you have 5 seconds left to create a shot. The Celtics are long, and they're agile, and they switch everything, and it would have been really, really tough for them to create space and get a decent look if they had called timeout. Now, on the other hand, they didn't get a good look anyway.
No.
And I think I would have been a lot more comfortable with the decision not to call timeout if the Nuggets had an extra second or two. And it kind of worked because the Celtics were lost. They were a little disjointed. They left Torrey Craig wide open underneath the hoop for a putback, which was just a split second too late. But, like, again, if they have an extra second, that bucket counts. And the Celtics go home losers. And that's the type of play that isn't possible if you call timeout and the Celtics have a set defense. So I didn't hate the non-timeout. I'm typically for not calling timeouts because going up against a set defense in the final seconds is so tough, especially for the Nuggets, who, like, with the exception of Barton, don't really have like that elite wing with size who can get a shot off whenever he wants.
Yeah, I think who's the go-to player in that five-second play call? You would think it'd be maybe Jamal Murray, but that he's with the Celtics either playing a zone or having an extremely long team. Kyrie's probably – that gives him a chance to take Kyrie out of the game. They have an extremely switchable defensive lineup. I mean, you said basketball is a real complex game. It's also a real simple game, make or miss league. Like, if that shot goes in, we're not questioning the decision. Everyone's saying, oh, Mike Malone's a genius for not having their not calling a timeout in that scenario. So I can understand it. I think Will Barton has made shots like that before. It's just it didn't work out for them. But you know, I can definitely see both ways. But
it's kind of funny how the road trip started with Marcus Smart missing
there's a lot of parallels
the exact
there.
Situation. And it was funny to hear Jaylen Brown say he wanted to bait Will Barton into a three-pointer.
That Jaylen Brown taking way too much credit there for.
But he kind of
took a buzzer beater, like.
Yeah, I mean there was still some time left on the clock, but yeah, it was funny to hear him say he wanted to bait Barton into a three-pointer, like less than a week or exactly a week, I guess, after Marcus Smart was baited into taking
Marcus
a three-pointer.
Marcus Smart was forced into a three-pointer by KCP's defense, if I remember correctly,
as Smart claimed. So. It was like mirror start and finish, and one went the Celtics' way, the other didn't. It was, like I said, just an eventful four-game road trip.
All right, special edition of Raining Junk, I want to say.
Ooh, special edition of
Raining
Junk. Yeah,
ending up the road trip, what was your favorite stop, what was your favorite game to watch? Well, that's obvious.
That's easy. Celtics Warriors. Well, that was a great game to cover.
What was your favorite city to be in?
LA had the beach, which was nice. San Fran had some water, too.
And San Fran had a man in a dog suit yelling at you on the street for not smiling. That was a great moment.
I did get yelled at in the street. Have we talked about this on the podcast yet?
I don't know. Did you
I don't
talk
think,
about it with
I don't
John
think we've shared this. So Sam and I were walking to grab a bite to eat in San Francisco after recording a podcast.
After I failed to get beers.
After he failed to bring beers to our podcast. And we went to grab a bite to eat, and there was a grown man wearing a dog suit with his dogs, and he asked me for money, and I said no. And then he asked me to smile, and I just kind of kept walking. Like, I just...
He was not in the mood
to smile. I said, no, I didn't have any money. I didn't have any cash on me. And then he asked me to smile, and I just kind of kept it walking. I just didn't want to have that interaction at that time. Just kind of figured I'd keep it moving instead of talk to the guy in the dog suit. And he lit me up. He told me I'm what's fucking wrong with this society.
He's not wrong, though.
You can't even put a smile on your ugly fucking face. Like this dude in a dog suit. It was incredible.
It shook Jay King for the rest of the evening. He wanted to go back and fight that guy in that dog suit.
I did not want to fight the guy in the dog suit.
You mentioned
suit.
That you might want to have him catch hands.
I was a little... When a guy in an animal suit starts saying crazy things to you, you kind of think he might be capable of doing anything.
That's fair. You don't want to fight the craziest guy in the room.
Yeah, you do not want to fight the guy wearing a dog suit berating random people on the street. I don't think he's a guy to mess with. He's a wild card. At the very least, he's a wild card. You never know what he's going to do. So
yes. That was one of my favorite moments on the road trip. It's been a wild time. I enjoyed both L.A., San Francisco, and the Oracle Arena definitely has an aura. And
it does.
The Oracle Kyrie, it feels like they're made for each other. He was just magnificent. He continued it tonight. He had a super efficient game. I think he finished something crazy. The last stat I remember is 10 for 5, but
10 for 15.
10 for 15. really, this road trip's been waiting on us. The only two things I have from Lat for Raining Junk is before the game, the Nuggets did like a super creepy PSA for about the effects of working out in the mileage or whatever. It's called hypoxia. it was just a terrible PSA, and it was great mind games. It was just like right before White and the Celtics took the court. It was just like all the things that can go wrong when you're playing in altitude, and I thought that was dope. And then, dude, Rocky, the freaking mascot here, is in every single segment. He has the highest usage rate of any mascot in the league.
I saw him take a kid's Celtics hat and chuck it into the stands, which is a wild move. Like, I'm all for mascots doing fun things, stay the hell away from people. Don't bother people.
Unless you're it's Robin like, Lopez.
It's like when you're in an airplane. Like, just don't bother people. Don't cross that line. Don't even speak to people in an airplane. And if you're a mascot, certainly don't touch someone's hat and throw it in the stands. I might have clocked that mascot if he had done the same to me.
Let me tell you, Rocky was doing everything tonight. Rocky was, like, leading the crowd and cheers. Rocky was hustling people. I don't know. I was very startled. It was interesting to go to a bunch of different NBA arenas and see how the game presentation changes. And it's pretty much the exact same. The Lakers are trying to tone down. The Clippers are very much trying to compensate for the fact that they're second-class citizens. Oracle is like a cult when they go, Warriors! And then the Denver is just the Rocky show. And that's my hot take for the entire evening. And then my final reigning junk, there was a great image tonight, a great gif of Brad Stevens upset with his play, folding his arms, standing in front of a Celtics fan folding his arms, who was sitting in front of a woman wearing a T-shirt that said Brad Stevens for president with a picture of him folding his arms on it. It was amazing basketball synergy, and I think it was the perfect way to end the road trip with that kind of moment of zen.
It was an artistic screenshot. It was just incredible and perfect. There is no better use of Twitter than taking a screenshot of Brad Stevens folding his arms while a Celtics fan folds his arms in front of a Celtics fan who's wearing a shirt of Brad Stevens folding his arms. That was a handful to say. I wasn't sure if I was going to get that out right. One other thing I do want to discuss is Kyrie Irving getting into it with Aaron Baines a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of snapping at each other after play.
I don't blame Kyrie Irving because Aaron Baines had taken the same amount of shots as him at that point in the game.
Aaron Baines took the 17 offense, shots. The dude. Offense turned into a lot of Aaron Baines for a long chunk of the third quarter, which is never ideal, especially when he's missing short pop-a-shot jumpers that he often hits.
Although immediately after the fight, he did hit his first jumper, and then they kind of like high-fived to say, we're cool, brother.
Yeah, Kyrie actually, after they kind of snapped at each other a little bit, went over for a high-five. Just wanted to make sure things were cool. And he said he was actually yelling at Baines to yell at Jason Tatum about missing a defensive assignment. So
that's awesome. That's leadership.
I like how he doesn't go straight to Tatum. He's like, I don't want to yell at the guy who did it. I want to yell at somebody else to yell at the guy.
I guess that's the way the communication system works. If Baines is the back line, I like that. I didn't hear that in the final scrum.
Yeah. So, and then Kyrie also had a glorious quote about when he passes to guys wanting to give them great energy on the pass and just trying to give them some of that Danimal juice, some of that great energy, man.
It kind of makes sense, though, like when you think about like pass placement, you want to like hit the guy right in the letters so he's like his best into creating shots. Just when Kyrie says something like that, you're like, yeah, man, this guy gets it.
Yeah, it's like the rhythm thing. The rhythm thing, like whenever a team has great ball movement, the shot seems to have a much higher percentage of going in. If you just give it a little great energy,
yeah,
then things probably
that's why out. He's so good in Oracles, because he rides the aura, man. I should have asked him about the aura. Man, I fucked up.
I don't know if he would have given you anything good.
Probably not.
Who knows, though? He might have gone wild. He might have gone off about the aura.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's why you always got to, you guys, shooters always shoot. You got to keep asking questions.
Shoot your shot. What else? Jarrell Eddy
looks not like getting a second 10-day.
Did not get a second 10-day right now. The Celtics will still have the option to bring him back later in the season. But I'm actually a little surprised by that. Not because he did anything during his brief time with the Celtics, but because Smart's going to be out for a little while. Shane Larkin had some knee soreness. He was out tonight. So I thought they'd hold on to that depth when they could. But maybe because two of their point guards are out, they'll go out and try to sign another point guard to a 10-day contract or just keep Kadeem Allen.
There's one
of the two-way guys who joined the team in Denver. So
there's one huge thing that we have neglected to talk about. Blake Griffin of the Los Angeles Clippers was traded today to the Detroit Pistons for Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris, a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and another guy?
I guess we should talk about how that could potentially impact
the Celtics. Does Blake being on the Pistons affect the East at all? Do you think it moves the needle?
No. No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe Blake and Drummond turn into, like, East Coast Davis and Cousins.
Well, that's the thing, is the Celtics do not deal with size well. We saw that in the Pelicans game. We saw Andre Drummond come into Boston and really dominate. They are not really a team to equip to deal with two very, very good big men. I don't know if it's the type of thing that's going to swing like their place in the standings, but doesn't make it want to have play them in the playoffs. I still think the Celtics would win, but I think it's just Blake is a much more talented than anyone else. Like, just it's bringing more talent to the East, basically.
But the Pistons lost Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris. They didn't have many wings in the first place.
They still have very little wings. They're relying a lot on Reggie Jackson right now.
I don't know how they're going to space the court or shoot the ball or do any of those things that are really important in this day and age. But they do have two really good big guys, including Blake Griffin out. So, yeah.
They got Ish Smith, Celtics killer.
Ish Smith, maybe the fastest man in the NBA. People are screaming like 5 miles down from us on the court, which is petrifying me that it's so far
down.
Yeah,
you were doing so well until those people started screaming, then you remembered how high up we were.
Yeah, now my legs are a little wobbly right now.
All
right,
let's talk about how the Clippers pick. The Celtics own the Clippers pick in what year?
So it's 2019, I believe it's top, what is it, lottery protected? I forget the exact protections. But if the Clippers completely bottom out, then that pick might ultimately turn into two second rounders down the road. So,
but it doesn't sound like they're wanting to bottom out. I know a lot of NBA teams say that they don't want to bottom out, but they got two solid starters with Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley. They got a first round pick. They still have DeAndre. They still have Lou Will. It remains to be seen if those guys are going to be ended up traded. But also, are they just cleared a ton of cap space, so they could be a team trying to position themselves not for next year's free agent class, but the free agent class after that. That actually includes Kyrie Irving. So, I don't know. It's hard to say kind of instant analysis off the pick. It just makes the Pistons a little bit different moving forward.
Yeah. So that Clippers pick is protected for the lottery in 2019 and 2020. So if the Clippers do bottom out, then the Celtics will not get a first-rounder probably out of that. We'll see what happens. We'll see. There's still a lot of dominoes to fall over there. They still got DeAndre Jordan. They still got Lou Williams, who could be difference makers elsewhere if they get traded. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes. I was just – that trade was the first one in a while where I just kind of threw up my arms and was like, yep. I don't really know what direction either of these teams are headed in. But I guess I can kind of see why they decided to make the trade. But also, it doesn't feel like a trade that totally makes sense.
For either team? Yeah. It's just like they're both kind of unhappy. And how bad do you feel for Blake Griffin, who just signed a 5-year deal? I mean, not really. He's making millions and millions of dollars. But he seemed like a guy who really liked the L.A. lifestyle, going to comedy shows, hanging out with different comedians. Now he's like living in Detroit. We were recently in Detroit. There's not much there. Or a lot of blight.
Casinos, man. He's got to turn into a hardcore gambler.
Or he can start doing his stand-up at the casinos.
Ooh. Brainstorming over
there
here.
There we go.
Brainstorming.
That's the kind of last night of a road trip idea, hanging out.
Yeah.
A mile high.
I don't think we can top that idea. So let's just end it here. Before we go, we are the Locked On Celtics podcast. Subscribe to us, search for us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. Again, we are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever recorded. And if you don't like us, you should at least tune in every day just to hear our intro. That's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah. King and Don Corrales.